6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Sons of how do you feel about what your mother did? Story one, I despise that wretched person, and every day I don't hear she's gone still haunts me. She left me at my great-aunt's doorstep when I was a year old, then convinced me to run away from my abusive great-aunt's home at 15 to live with her. None of this is in order. I just wrote it as I remembered things. Different horrible men every night. One of them came into my room and pointed a pistol at my face. All of my belongings worth anything were sold for drugs. I was left home alone for days, sometimes even a week. The cupboards were locked shut, and I wasn't allowed to eat. She tried to stab me multiple times and even threw me off the second-story balcony of our apartment. I had to pull a needle out of her arm after I found her passed out on the kitchen floor. She once got me a puppy, then would smear peanut butter on the other side of my bedroom door to make the dog freak out every night. Eventually, she fed it crack, and who knows what else, which killed my poor little Bailey. She used to threaten to murder me and dispose of my body under a certain spot, so people would walk over my grave daily without knowing. She once took a pocket knife of mine, rammed it through her own hand, hid the knife under my pillow, and told the police I assaulted her just to get rid of me. She was in the process of trying to sell me to a strange man, but I spoke to the police when they questioned me. They helped me get to a bus station to escape after she ran from the authorities. I traveled a few provinces across Canada on the Greyhound for nearly a week with no food or money, trying to reach my grandfather in a small town. His girlfriend eventually dropped me off in my hometown at a youth shelter, where I ended up homeless. 15 years later, I've pulled myself together after all the trauma, but I've never been the same since the worst 6 months of my life. I'll only attend her funeral to make sure it's really her in the coffin. Story two, I found it terrible at the time. I find it even worse today. Back when I was 8 years old, we had to move out of our house with the whole family because my mother kicked my father out of the place he was paying rent for. Living in France, we managed to get social assistance since she was a single parent without work, and we could afford a small flat with limited food. The walls were very thin. What I mean is, anything happening in the room next to yours, you could hear everything. My bedroom was between my older brother's room and my mother's room. I could hear people coming in, doing things with my mother, followed by a few minutes of silence. then another man arriving. I heard that for 2 years, until my mother discovered I was diabetic and said she couldn't take care of me anymore. She kicked me out so my father could take me back. What hurts the most is that she wasn't even using the money to provide basic things for my brothers and me. No food, clothes, or essentials. Instead, it all went to gambling and drugs. I never heard from her again. And honestly, it's better that way. Edit. Thank you for all your kind messages, awards, and support. Let me add something more hopeful to this story. As I mentioned in the comments, social workers stepped in and asked my father to come pick us up and keep us at his place for a while. Sadly, after that, she never agreed to see us again. But since then, things truly improved. While living with my father, since my mother wasn't contributing, he stepped up. He bought us clothes, consoles, a laptop, and even gave me a phone after I left the hospital to stay in touch. When both of my brothers graduated from high school, he got them newer laptops for their studies, furnished their spaces, and helped them access good schools. We now own a house. I'm currently pursuing an English degree, and I've always had my father's support. Things weren't great in the past, but I still have my dad, who stood by me through everything. Story 3. My mother was involved in street work in the Dallas-Fort Worth area in the 90s and early 2000s. I spent the majority of my time with her, going place to place and watching it all unfold. I carried around a little JanSport backpack with a NASCAR VHS, some action figures, and toy cars. Everything seemed okay, even though I knew it wasn't the same as everyone else's life. Days would go by without seeing my mom, or I would just kind of wander around, stopping at the 7-Eleven and stuffing candy bars into big gulps. It was a really strange childhood, but I did and still do love my mother dearly. We had a strange bond in a mother-son way. I don't know. Things felt odd as a kid, but I always knew Mom would be there. We would usually get Happy Meals the day after, and it actually felt kind of cool. I struggled through my teenage years as I learned about intimacy and everything else. People made your mom jokes, and it was always hard to deal with. I still hold my mother in high regard because I feel like she did the best she could as someone dealing with addiction and a tough life. I'm in therapy now to work through that and other childhood trauma, and it's been helpful. Story 4. Made this account just to reply to this very applicable question. It'll be a bit of a read, but I promise it all ties together. I spent a lot of time bouncing around different places as a kid with my mom and dad. Dad was in and out of prison for violent crimes. Mom never had a job and kept jumping from boyfriend to boyfriend. I don't remember much from before age 10, other than the abusive stuff. Eventually, my mother met a man who took care of her and was very kind to my siblings and me. He let her live with him, but couldn't take us for reasons I would learn later. We ended up at my grandparents, on my mother's side, for nearly a year. While living there, we were beaten with planks of wood for no real reason. 10 years old me, 9 years old sister, 8 years old autistic brother. We thought this was normal since all we had known was abuse, so we never told my mom or her boyfriend. Near Christmas, my mom and her boyfriend planned to visit us and spend time together. I got batteries for Christmas that year, nothing else. When we finally had time alone with them, the beatings came up in conversation. A screaming fight broke out between them and our grandparents. We were immediately taken from their home by our mom and her boyfriend, wearing only pajamas and taking no other clothes. The next day, her boyfriend took us out shopping and bought us whatever we wanted. He took us to places like Chuck E. Cheese's, swimming pools, restaurants, fun places almost every day. Around age 11, I started to understand why we were being kept out of the house so often. It was basically a brothel. I was never a clueless kid, just quiet, and I kept it to myself. Why ruin the fun days? I didn't realize my mother was also working there until I had no choice but to stay home and hear what was happening in the next room. That life continued into high school. Her boyfriend and she broke up halfway through. My brother was sent to live with a family that specialized in caring for autistic children. My sister stayed with us. My mother went back to hopping between boyfriends, still working. What surprised me most was that her ex-boyfriend, the one running things, continued taking care of my sister and me. He wasn't a strict father figure. I skipped school and did what I wanted, but he was always there when no one else was. He gave me money when I needed it, offered advice, and gave me the closest thing to a real family. He definitely wasn't your typical pimp. Years later, my mom became dependent on alcohol and continued working. She lived with my stepfather, that's what I call him now, and me. I had become a pretty big guy, and whenever she had a bad client, I was called in to make them leave. It was always weird, but I didn't mind. I have a big trigger when it comes to violence against women and won't tolerate it, probably because my biological father constantly beat my mother when I was a child. Remember those selective pre-age 10 memories? My biological dad eventually developed paranoid schizophrenia. For some reason, he tried to reconnect with me once I was an adult, thinking we could relate better. I eventually blew up at him over everything he did and never being there. I haven't spoken to him in years. Now I'm almost 30. I have no contact with either biological parent. I just bought a house with my girlfriend, and her family treats me with real love. I still talk to my stepdad every week. He's older now and can't run the business anymore, so I help him financially and physically whenever I can. I honestly have no problem with it. That man gave me the love and support I always wanted. He's the best father I could have asked for. I kind of wrote this on a whim. Hope it wasn't too messy to follow. Story 5. Not the son, but the grandson. She had worked in the streets when she was younger. When I knew her, she was a strong Christian, and I didn't find out about that part of her past until I was older. There was a story she told that took on a whole new meaning once I had more context. She told the story of being with my grandfather and how she used to be with this rich guy. She would host his parties and go out with him all the time, but Grandpa was in love with her and wanted her to marry him. According to the story, Grandpa and the rich guy had a confrontation where the rich man asked, "What could he give her that I can't?" Grandpa replied, "A family for her and her kids." Grandma chose the poor army serviceman, my grandpa. In hindsight, Grandma was the rich guy's paid companion that he brought to parties and outings. She was apparently a real beauty back in the day. As a kid, I was confused about why the rich guy wouldn't marry her if he liked her, but I never asked directly. So what do I think? Times were tough. She did what she had to do to support her kids on her own, and when she found true love, she left it all behind and built a family. Story 6. Backstory. It went something like this. Divorce followed by a mild to medium drug addiction, inability to keep a steady job, and possibly untreated mental illness.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Eventually, she fully embraced the life of a person struggling with addiction and unstable housing. I haven't spoken to her in 12 years, and I'm not really sure what she's doing now. I've heard she still visits the methadone clinic and survives by moving from man to man, still living a deeply unstable life, even losing drug-addicted children to the state. Yes, really, despite being in her late 40s by now. Same as always, more or less. You shouldn't be picturing a woman in high heels made up with exotic outfits when you imagine what this looked like. Know that all of this happened within the reality of poverty, mental health issues, addiction, and a series of poor decisions. Imagine the poorest person scraping by. Add in addiction, mental illness, terrible luck, and someone who was, unfortunately, very beautiful. And then you have a realistic picture. She sold herself, and like everything bought and sold, it came at a cost. The years have not been kind. I'm not proud to admit I've seen photos of her in recent years when I looked her up on Facebook. She used to be stunningly beautiful, but years of drug use and smoking have taken their toll. What you see now is exactly what it is. The destruction of a person, there's no other way to put it. How do I feel about what she did? What can I say? I'm obviously not happy about it, but you learn over time that coping with reality means surrendering your emotions. Truth be told, my feelings on the matter never mattered and never will. It was completely out of my control, and I can only judge her from a limited and distant perspective. I can only reflect in hindsight. She made too many wrong decisions, trusted too many of the wrong people, and couldn't figure out how to survive in the modern world. My life started out harder than hers, yet I've managed to do okay for myself. Sometimes I truly can't understand how she could have messed it up as badly as she did. Story 7. A daughter instead. But honestly, I'm still pretty upset about it. not for the typical reasons either. My dad was her pimp, and I have no idea if he was my biological dad. It would really mess me up if he wasn't, because I grieved him so deeply. Me and my sisters had to sit in my dad's car while he followed my mom around the city and to her clients' homes, or we'd just sit right next to the client's car while they did whatever. Sometimes she took a long time to come back, and when she did, she'd be covered in bruises, blood, and her clothes would be torn. My dad wouldn't do anything about it. He'd just drive to the next street corner where she worked and kick her back out of the car after taking the money. It was a horrible life for all of us, except for my dad, who made money off of my mom's body. Story 8. I found out my mom did that kind of work for about a week when I was 10. Edit to clarify, I was 10 when this happened, not when I found out, lol. She's a very tall woman, 6'3" and 220 pounds. I guess my dad's boss was about to retire and had a particular interest in women like her. To celebrate, he paid my mom $4,500 over the course of a week to basically rough him up and dominate him. He gave my dad $2,500 as hush money, since if the story ever got out, it could have ruined his reputation, even though he was retiring. That was a lot of money for us at the time. Almost life-changing. We got a newish used car, paid off old rent debt, went to the water park, and my siblings and I got a ton of new school clothes. I feel no shame about it, especially since my parents agreed to it as adults and as a married couple. I know my wife and I have talked about it, and we'd probably do the same in a heartbeat, honestly. Story 9. My mother, Cordelia, moved to Hollywood from New Mexico in the 70s with her high school sweetheart. She died from drug use and that Hollywood Boulevard lifestyle. She had struggles from the start, and when you added drugs to the mix, it was a modern Marty Robbins-style tragedy. She never had a formal job, but always had basic cash for food and drugs. She was a cool, beautiful woman who everyone seemed to love. She gave me a love for classic rock and art. She inspired my passion for music and creativity. I love that. It was like Life is Beautiful, but with a 1970s/early 80s soundtrack. So, some good things came from it. I grew up independent, and maybe even stronger than most, though I'm still broken inside from the trauma of growing up around drugs and homelessness. She was beautiful for many years, and then one day she wasn't. She was someone else entirely. I was 6 when I was taken away for the final time. I was 9 when she introduced my 15-year-old sister to her lifestyle. My sister contracted AIDS from being assaulted while living that life. I was 14 when she passed, and 15 when my mother passed. In the end, I have no idea who my dad is. A 23andMe test shows nothing on his side. Not a day goes by that I don't think of her. I grew up in foster care, went to college on the state's dime, and finally clawed my way out of that hole at 39. I now have a family of my own and a job. I love restoring antiques. I have a million stories because of her, and in the end, I love her just like any son loves his mother. But it's hard sometimes. That's just life. My next goal is a house. No clue how I'll pull that off, but I'll try. Story 10. I had an atypical childhood. My dad was schizophrenic, and since it was the 90s, he was either over-medicated or institutionalized for most of my childhood. My mom did a lot of questionable things, but she tried. She did whatever it took to keep a roof over our heads. I don't resent her, hate her, or anything like that. I actually look up to her. Men, I'm a man myself, can be cruel and unforgiving. She dealt with the worst of them. She was definitely an addict, but not someone who used heavily, just enough to numb the pain. We never saw her overdose or anything. We knew she was a bartender and always around shady people. After school, we'd walk to the bar, and the men there would be all over her. They'd give us quarters to play pool while they harassed her. I got really good at pool. I can't count how many times I woke up to see my mom come home bruised and beaten, stumbling in at 6 a.m., makeup smeared, dried blood on her face before passing out on the couch. I don't remember about 95% of my childhood, but the things I do recall, mostly through therapy, are really dark. I remember one time we were supposed to go to Chuck E. Cheese's, me and my older brother. It was during a rough time. I remember being in state counseling for having accidents at 5 or 6. Instead of cleaning me up so I could go, they sat me naked in a little red rocking chair with my underwear on my head while they went without me. I was left alone. No accident, just one of those signs of abuse that no one somehow caught. My therapist thinks I was likely part of the abuse too, even the worst kind, but I truly don't remember most of it. Lasting effects? I'm still pretty messed up, but let's be honest, having a schizophrenic father meant I was likely destined to struggle either way. Sorry if this is a weird story. It actually felt good to get it out. Kind of liberating to write it all down and share it with strangers for the first time. I've always been too embarrassed and terrified to tell my wife. Story 11. I'm from a country where adult work is legal, so my experience might be different from others. At first, my mother was working freelance, but later on, she opened her own place where she rented rooms to other women so they could work together. Her place became quite well known, and she received a lot of media requests whenever someone wanted to do documentaries or reports about S workers. Since she agreed to participate, she appeared on national television a couple of times and was recognized quite often for a short while. Now, how do I feel about it? As her son, it was difficult at the beginning to accept this kind of reality, but she was always honest about the environment she worked in, reassuring me that she was safe and doing everything on her own terms. It was a strange experience at first, but one day it just became completely normal to me. Business is business. My family is otherwise very normal. So normal it would be considered boring to most people. Funny story, in school we used to have parent-teacher conferences, and around the beginning of middle school for me, she stopped going to those meetings. The reason, which I found out much later, was that the last time she went, she recognized one of my teachers as one of her clients. The mood was apparently extremely awkward, but I was completely oblivious to it at the time. Story 12. A guy I know from work is the son of a former S worker. He's fine with it. Even okay with the jokes we make. In fact, he has his own joke where he says he's just glad he wasn't there to witness any of it. But don't ever call her a derogatory name, even as a joke. He's fine with ho because, according to him, it just sounds less serious. But the word whore is an instant trigger. Jokes are funny to him, but disrespect is not. And honestly, she's a very kind woman. No one should be saying bad things about her. Edit. I should clarify the part about us joking. He's fine with it because he knows we don't mean it in a hurtful way. Even though we're adults, most of us still joke around like teenagers, especially where we're from. That includes teasing each other about our families. We've met his mom several times. When he's picking something up from her or dropping something off and we happen to tag along, she always invites us in for a drink and a snack. She's old school like that. We've had many good talks with her. She's no longer in that life and says the best way to deal with the past is to laugh about it now. She once told us, "It has no hold on me because it can't hold down a cackling old woman." That's how she put it. He knows that when we make a joke, it comes with respect for her, which is why he can join in. The "I'm glad I wasn't there to see it" joke isn't meant to be shameful. It's more like, nobody wants to see their parents doing that, which is fair. Edit 2. If you're wondering how I know he's genuinely fine with it, we've had a serious conversation about it. He explained that when he was a teenager, he used to be really embarrassed. He hated her, hated himself, and struggled with the bullying he faced. But as he got older, he sat down with her for a real conversation that lasted for hours. She explained why she did what she did, shared stories about fighting off creeps who wouldn't take no for an answer, and even how the job led her to meet her husband. By the end of that conversation, he said he wasn't ashamed anymore. He was weirdly proud. Despite being forced into difficult circumstances, despite everything she endured, she didn't let life break her. She walked away from it all, still kind, still human. He's accepted that it's part of her past, not something to be ashamed of, maybe something to hope never happens again, but it's over now. She's happy. She's turning 74 soon, and honestly, she could still take any of us down without trying. Story 13. I was adopted at birth. My birth mother was homeless and heavily involved with alcohol and hard drugs. I generally assume I'm the product of a business exchange. On one hand, I wish she and the man involved had used contraceptives or that she'd chosen to have an abortion. I don't feel like the family I grew up with is really my family, beyond the mother who actually raised me. It feels like I'm not even supposed to be here. I feel like she was just doing what she felt she had to do to get a fix or survive. I can't be mad at her for getting by like that. It probably didn't feel good doing what she did just to make money or get drugs. I really don't know how to feel, besides kind of wishing she'd been smart enough to use some sort of birth control. Same with the man who put me into this world. Pull out, wear a condom, pay for Plan B, or split the cost of an abortion. You had options. Story 14. I'm not a guy, but my stepmom was involved in S work. We lived in downtown Oakland with my mom, grandma, and stepdad. But I had visitation with my real dad for a short period of time. He was using meth and lived in a hotel room. Anyway, he had a wife who would sometimes be there with us. She was definitely S worker, with a pimp and everything. I remember that when we were young, she would smile and be nice to us. But then she'd get super angry and start screaming for no reason, probably using meth too. I remember my dad would leave us alone with her, and she would bring clients back to the room. She'd come in and tell us to leave, and we just would. Sometimes she gave us money, and we played at the McDonald's playground until the lobby closed. Other times we just sat in the hotel lobby all night and played the board games they had there. One time I met her pimp, and he terrified me. I just knew he was bad news from the way he sat and looked at me. He commented on how pretty my long hair was, and I was so scared. My stepmom started talking to him about needing to go to LA for something, told me to leave, and he said he'd take her but charge her double for gas money. Shortly after that, I casually mentioned this to my grandma, and she freaked out. My mom got full custody of us after that. I felt super weird about the situation, but I never really understood what was happening until I got older. I mostly blame my dad for being careless and too cheap to get her a second hotel room, or maybe for not realizing what she was doing. I'm not mad at her, though, because I feel like she tried her best to take care of us and keep us out of it. She gave us money for food, so I think she was trying. I also felt like her getting the pimp away from me was her way of protecting me, and I'm very grateful for that. I haven't seen her since I lost custody with my dad, and I haven't seen him either. Story 15. Not good. My mother came from a very broken home. Physical, mental, and sexual abuse from her stepdad and brothers. Her mother overdosed when she was a teen. She never graduated high school but was very beautiful. 5'2", 90 pounds, natural platinum blonde, blue eyes. She was unofficially a gold digger until she met my alcoholic, abusive father. They never officially got together, but they had me. She ran off with me several times to escape him, but he always found us and made her pay for running. I would often find her drunk or high with random men. It wasn't uncommon to walk in and see her with them in the living room. Multiple times I was forced to watch. I didn't understand then that she was trying to pay the bills. All I saw was a monster. She did work for the first 12 years of my life. Eventually, she met a recovering oxy addict who became my stepfather. He would later stab her to death in a motel in Mexico over drugs. I was 15 when she died. Toward the end, she forgot my name and sometimes didn't even remember who I was. Regarding adult work, I believe it should be legal, and women should have the right to profit in a system that often exploits them anyway. But too often it's not out of empowerment, it's out of desperation. I feel deep pain when I see someone working the streets. But I've had friends who were strippers, escorts, and dominatrixes. They all did it in healthy ways. I've even experimented with it myself, but I have too much trauma to engage in it safely. Story 16. My dad was a womanizer, and my mom was involved in S work and addicted to crack when I was born. Immediately after, CPS took me, and it took my dad a year to get me out of the system. I didn't really know my mom until I was about 4, and I didn't learn the truth about how I was born until I was around 9 or 10. Why I was born with a hole in my heart, and why the doctors had to give me so many steroids to help it heal properly. As a result, I ended up with higher testosterone levels than the average male, which made me extra hairy and caused me to have a mustache by the time I was 5. That led to severe bullying in elementary and middle school. I grew up with my mom, dealing with depression and anxiety from the bullying. Even then, my mom was still using drugs from her earlier life. It caused a lot of emotional issues as a young adult and led to frequent fights between me and my mom. My dad let me live with her because otherwise I would have grown up in a rougher neighborhood. Eventually, those fights turned physical, and I moved out right after. Both my dad and stepdad were physically abusive toward my mom, but my stepdad was worse. I grew up saying I'd never be like them, until I made the same mistake. I had to leave because I felt like I lost who I was, becoming the thing I swore I never would. I stayed with friends for almost 3 years, aimless, until by chance, I ended up living with one of my friend's grandmothers, who had trouble getting around due to an accident. The years I spent with that little old lady helped me decompress and finally reflect. She helped me realize that what my parents were back then isn't who they are now. She helped me come to terms with the fact that even though I had a rough start, that didn't have to define who I became, that I was in control of who I was, not my parents. It was also through her that I got my life together. I got a good job, found someone who saw past the surface and loved me for who I am, her granddaughter, and I started building a better life. Eventually, I reconciled with both my mom and dad. We had long talks, finally understanding each other, and after a decade of resentment, we laid those old grudges to rest. I don't hate my parents. I'm disappointed that things couldn't have been better sooner, but that doesn't mean I love them any less. We all have our struggles as adults, and it's our responsibility not to let those struggles stop us from becoming who we're meant to be. Story 17. Son here, I always felt like life wasn't great and dreamed of some version of normal. From what I've experienced, my mom was a single mother and had always worked in S-work. She didn't know who my real dad was, and I didn't find out until I was 22 when I went looking for him. It led to many of my stepdads crying to me at different points in my life, telling me they tried to help her and confessing all the details about her lifestyle. Honestly, screw those guys. A kid should never be burdened with that stuff. There was no reason to tell me so much at such a young age. Eventually, they all said they couldn't keep trying to change her and left. She also worked at a strip club, so both jobs went hand in hand. I'm grateful she kept her work in hotel rooms, away from our home. This lifestyle meant I was often left alone, eating Domino's 6 times a week and always carrying about $20 and $1 bills to pay for school lunches. Kids at school joked, "You've got so many ones because your mom's a stripper," and they made fun of me constantly. Anytime I needed a ride after baseball or school practice, she was hours late because she was either working or too tired from long nights. Schools often had me talk to a psychologist, trying to get me to reveal things about her, but she would verbally threaten me not to talk. It made me shut down emotionally. Eventually, I'd switch schools and lose all my friends. My grades dropped, and I became a troubled kid through high school. I met a lot of her clients. They often brought me leftovers from fancy restaurants, and I always had the newest video games. I got used to it until I moved out. Funny story, she landed a wealthy client, a CEO of an oil company, who took us on trips to Europe. That lasted until his wife found out. Later, when I asked him for help with college, he told me she had spent over $500,000 on partying, drugs, and gambling. I nearly threw up hearing that. She developed a serious addiction and became a paranoid schizophrenic, eventually ending up on the streets. I'm still dealing with the effects of all the abuse, but therapy has helped somewhat. If anyone else out there has a similar story, I'd be glad to support them. You're not alone. Story 18. My son is not the child of a S worker, but his mother was deep in heroin addiction and living a very unstable, chaotic lifestyle. It's been tough on him. I wasn't brought into the picture until he was 8, so the first half of his life was incredibly unstable. His mother neglected him regularly, and at times he lived with her mother, who is almost as unstable, just slightly more functional. Both his mom and grandmother still have a lot of influence over him. They've convinced him that they're victims of the world and saints in disguise, and that the universe is just out to get them. Shortly after I met him, he came to live with me. Since then, they've been feeding him lies, that I abandoned him as a baby, when in reality, I didn't even know he existed until he was 8. He's always treated living with my wife and me like it's a temporary arrangement. He sees our home as a place to crash until things are better with his mom and grandmother. He recently told me he wants to go back. If this went to court, he'd probably be allowed to live wherever he chose, so fighting it feels hopeless. It's been hard. My wife and I have sacrificed a lot to give him structure and stability, only for him to see our home as nothing more than a stopover when his mom and grandmother are too unstable to care for him. In the end, he'll likely go back to them. For a teenager, it's appealing. Freedom, no rules, a place to smoke weed with his friends, zero accountability. I'm afraid he's going to follow in their footsteps, and there's not much I can do to stop it. Story 19. Okay, after reading this thread, I have a story to share. My son, age 11, is the child of a former S worker. I met his mother in college, and she became pregnant. While she was pregnant, our relationship was extremely abusive. She would yell at me, physically assault me, and accuse me of cheating, even though there were only 3 women in my trade school at the time. I would show up to school with bruises and bite marks on my face. I wasn't allowed to hang out with friends, and when I did, she'd come along and make sure the outing went badly. During this time, I learned she had worked as a dancer in Montreal and occasionally took clients after hours. She told me once that she and a fellow dancer were invited to a party where they could make a lot of money. Once there, they were forced to engage in disturbing acts, including being forced to participate in degrading behavior in front of an audience. She said she tried to say no, but the men had dogs and threatened to let them loose if they didn't comply. Eventually, she managed to escape and run, but she had to leave her friend behind. Her friend was never heard from again. Her background was incredibly dark. Her father was an alcoholic who allowed terrible things to happen to her as a child. Her mother ignored it. She eventually ran away at 14 and lived in a foster home, where she was introduced to drugs and alcohol. After graduation, she started working in adult entertainment, which led to S-work. She and I didn't stay together long after our son was born. We went through a bitter custody battle. She eventually lost custody after leaving our son home alone while she went out drinking. He was found wandering the apartment building naked, looking for her. She also lost custody of his older sister and younger brother. After that, she was ordered into counseling and moved back to her home province to care for her sister, who was dying of cancer. She's now back in my province, but doesn't contact our son. I imagine she struggles with guilt and likely has PTSD from everything she went through. I don't hear from her often, but from what she's told me, she has a boyfriend now. He's a teacher, and she says things are going better. As for our son, he lives with me full-time. I have a stable career, and my girlfriend of 10 years also has a good job. He has two stepsisters and a stepbrother. We live in a house with some land and a garden. He's doing well in school and seems pretty happy overall. Story 20. My mom was a mistress to a very wealthy real estate developer. Think entire U.S., while she was married to my father and raising me. At first, when she was offered the role, he was a client of the fully legal, high-class spa business she and my dad were running. He gave her a blank check, and she ran to my dad and asked what amount would make it worth it. I think they wrote in $20,000, and he didn't even blink, so she went for it. I saw it slowly tear us apart. My dad knew we needed the money for his student loans, business loans, and more. But he struggled watching the woman he loved be with another man. You know the song Two Princes by Spin Doctors? That was her anthem. It became her favorite song. I was only 14, and I grew bitter watching my dad suffer while she jetted off to other countries and came home draped in furs. It changed how I saw love in relationships. She ended it after 6 years, and she and my dad tried to patch things up, but it didn't last. I took on as many jobs as I could to stay out of the house. School or work, that was my life. I came to hate the man who paid her. I hated his kids, who had everything, while all we got was a pittance in exchange for his desire. Long story short, I ended up joining the USMC. By the time their relationship was ending, I was an angry, aggressive mess. I love my mom, and as an adult, I understand more. She had me very young, and in many ways, she was living a life she never thought she'd get. But it was hard. For a very long time. Story 21. Not a son, but a daughter of a S worker. Hope that's okay. I was the child of a stripper and S worker. My father left when I was 2, and my mom got tired of parenting by the time I was 6. She left to become a traveling exotic dancer. She would show up occasionally during holidays, always glamorous, like some eccentric aunt handing out folded dollar bills and flashing jewelry. I longed for her to come take me home, not realizing the chaos that would bring. When I did live with her, it was pure disorder. People and drugs were always around. We'd sleep in cars parked outside bars, or I'd fall asleep on piles of coats at parties. My brother and I were always dirty. I remember burning my hand grabbing a glass with melted ice out of the oven, because our water had been shut off. She slept all day and we'd roam the streets. Neglect doesn't fully describe how dangerous it felt. I was raised in foster care. By random friends, grandparents, and ultimately her younger sister. Life with my aunt was difficult, but she saved me. I told her at my wedding that she was my true mother figure. During summers, we'd go live with our mom. She traveled from city to city dancing while we stayed in campgrounds or motels, roaming like wild kids. But it was the 70s and 80s. My brother eventually lived with her full time, and his life was chaotic as a result. Me? I became a successful software and business professional. People often call me a success story or an anomaly. I rarely share my background, and when I do, people are stunned because I seem so normal. My mom now lives in the Midwest. She's a trucker and part-time farmer, deeply religious and conservative, preaching on her CB radio and at casinos. Ironically, she once told my brother he should have been aborted. Of course, she doesn't see the contradiction. Story 22. I've been reading the stories here, and it's made me reflect on my own mother. For context, I'm 18 now, but I was 11 when I was removed from her custody and 13 when I was legally adopted by my current parents. Growing up with my mother's job was incredibly hard. We lived in a town where everyone knew what she did. My friends weren't allowed to come over, and I wasn't allowed to go to their homes. Their parents didn't want to pick me up or have my mom pick me up. My siblings and I were never invited to sleepovers or birthday parties. I was lonely. I'm one of six kids. My brother is 14 years younger than me, and I've never met him. My eldest sisters are 14 and 12 years older, and they were the ones who raised us middle three. Our mother was always out looking for clients and rarely home when we got back from school. She would bring clients home. We could hear them through the walls. They were often drunk, aggressive, and violent. Some would show up when she wasn't home and demand to be let in. One of my sisters lost vision in one eye after an altercation with one of them. I was too young to understand exactly what happened, but it left permanent damage. If we passed the local pub, people would yell at us. Everyone knew what our mother did. Someone spray-painted a slur on our windows, and they were sometimes broken with rocks. We didn't sleep much. We were always scared someone would come pounding on the door, demanding entry. Sometimes multiple men came in a single night. Sometimes they wandered into our rooms just for fun. Sometimes they offered money to use my sister. I don't want a relationship with her. There were other terrible things she did, but her work defined so much of my early childhood. She's still doing the same job, and I often wonder how my brother's doing. He's there alone, without siblings to protect him. None of us know our fathers. Neither does she. It's been 7 years, but I still have nightmares of strange men, strange noises, and seeing her working as I walked home from school. Story 23. My grandmother spent time as a S worker in the Philippines. It's hard to separate fact from fiction because she's the opposite of the big fish type. She downplays everything and lies as much as possible to make her life sound mundane. I know it was a rough life, and maybe this sounds strange, but I can't help but admire her for everything she's done. It's given me a strange sense of respect for people in that line of work. While the details are foggy, I do know a few things for sure. She was a S worker for an unknown period of time and gave birth to my uncle. She was deported from Japan. She was accused of murder. She smuggled my uncles into the United States, and when my mother was kidnapped, she smuggled my brother, who was just a baby, into the U.S. She's done a lot of questionable things that I won't share here, but I always wanted to hear her full story. Despite her shame, I've always been proud to be her blood. All of her choices eventually led to our family either becoming or being born as U.S. citizens. My brother, the one she smuggled in, is now a successful businessman with his second child. My mom, who was eventually freed, came to the U.S. and started an American family. That's me. I always wanted to sit down and record her life story, but I procrastinated too long. Now she's beginning to fade with time, and most days she just repeats, like a record, "Do you have a lover yet?" Story 24. My mother didn't become a S worker until I was 16 or 17. It's a strange thing to really reflect on. I am the son of someone who sold her body. But honestly, it wasn't even the worst thing she did. My respect for her was already gone because of her addictions. I remember one time when my step-grandmother bought us groceries and filled our cabinets. My mom and her boyfriend gathered everything up and returned it to the store for a refund to buy drugs. That was the level of dysfunction we lived in. I heard she died when I was in my mid-20s, pushed down the stairs by her pimp. I never bothered to confirm if it was true. What I really feel is sympathy for my half-sister, who is 10 years younger than me. When my mom's probation officer finally remembered she had a teenage son, I was shipped off to my dad. It's amazing how much someone can mess up and still retain custody of a child. My dad was incredibly stable, a total contrast. My little sister, though, she had nothing. Her father, a man named Sandy Eugene Womack, you can look him up, he once sued the Tennessee prison system, had been in prison for robbing convenience stores with a 357 since before she was born. Story 25. My mom became an S worker at 13, then got out of it for a while. She had my sister and later had me with my father, who passed away. After he died, she went back into the business. My sister, who was 7 years older than me, had already moved out. She didn't get along with our mom. I was the only one who really loved her. Everyone else in the family, my grandmother included, was extremely narcissistic, and they all had ongoing issues with my mom, especially about whether I was really my father's son. Even though I'm his carbon copy, there was always tension. I understood why she needed to escape sometimes, but seeing her leave and not come back for one or even two nights while I sat wide awake on the balcony on a little stool, waiting, really messed with me. I was imaginative, scared of the dark, and highly emotionally aware. That combination made my inner world pretty dark. I don't hate her for it, even though maybe I should. We had my dad's pension, and even as a child, I didn't eat much or ask for things, but I couldn't say anything. She was unstable. She had MDD, psychosis, bipolar disorder, BPD, and a lot of childhood trauma. If I made her feel bad, it would stick and consume her. So I kept it in. I was alone, me and my thoughts, for most of my childhood. I didn't connect with anyone around me, so I stayed a loner. She was often too drunk to care. She did the basics, made sure I was safe and fed. But she forgot that interaction matters too. The men she brought home didn't help either. Most of them just used her or treated her like a servant. I warned her about them, but she dismissed my advice with the usual, "You're just a child" line until it was too late. So yes, I have a lot of resentment. I don't hate her, but I carry that weight. She's better now. We've talked about it, though not as deeply as I need to, because I'm afraid of how much damage it might do to her. Story 26. My ex was the grandson of a S worker. His mom had a birth name that resembled Glitter. His grandmother had 12 children from different clients. She was treated terribly by those clients, often robbed, beaten, and abused. She even sold some of her children when they were toddlers to exploitative clients in exchange for alcohol and drugs, until the state intervened and placed most of the kids into separate foster homes. Glitter ended up with her brother River and her sister Leanne. My ex's grandmother was a native Canadian woman and a survivor of a forced government residential school. Indigenous children were violently taken from their parents, siblings, and culture. At those schools, she endured physical, emotional, and sexual abuse. If you're unfamiliar with that history, I highly recommend looking into it. She became addicted as a way of coping with the trauma. My ex's mother was severely abused in foster care. She suffered from hallucinations, memory loss, mood swings, hysteria, and alcoholism. Most of her siblings died from either suicide or addiction. Her sister Leanne, who was 2 years younger, ended up with a better life because she protected her from childhood abuse. They were placed in the same foster homes, and Leanne often put herself in harm's way to shield her sister. Leanne was white passing and eventually adopted by a white family. That adoptive family wasn't perfect. They erased her culture and wouldn't let her see her biological siblings, but they didn't physically or sexually abuse her. My ex's mom was strong, resilient, and loving when sober. But when she drank, she would speak to her late brother River, who had taken his own life 4 years earlier, and beg him to let her join him. My ex was deeply affected by the trauma that ran through his family. His father was abusive to him, his siblings, and his mother. He was a white-passing native man who worked as a pastor. He was ashamed of his heritage and refused to acknowledge it. His favorite child was his daughter, who was also white-passing. Story 27. My mother was a high-end escort. She worked a low-paying day job and struggled to provide for my sister and me. On weekends, she would disappear without telling anyone where she was going. There were days when my sister and I would wander around the neighborhood asking for food. I've eaten dog food, cardboard, and toilet paper. Anything just to put something in my stomach, following my sister's lead since I was too young to care for myself. No one in our family knew what she was doing. One night, it got her killed. An old client came to the house asking for money. When she said no, he kicked in the door, tied me and my sister up, and assaulted her. He beat her to death with a hammer, continued the assault, and then cannibalized part of her, just 10 feet away from us. We were found several hours later by a neighbor who noticed our front door had been open all night. I don't resent her for the work itself. She did what she thought was right to provide for us, in her own way. But I do resent the fact that she allowed someone like that to know where we lived. Now I know no peace. My sister turned to drugs and disappeared years ago. On the outside, I seem fine. I own a home in a nice area, have a great job, a lot of friends, and I'm known as the funny guy. But inside, I feel dead. I don't have real emotions. I've never been truly passionate about anything. I can't connect with people emotionally. I attempted suicide twice, the first time when I was only 12. I've spent most of my life in therapy, including a 14-month stay at a residential treatment center. I trust no one. I do fine with casual relationships, but all my long-term ones have failed because I don't believe anyone won't eventually hurt me. I take a lot of risks because deep down, I don't want to live. The only upside is that I don't fear anything. I've already stared death in the face. My diagnoses include bipolar type 2, PTSD, depression, anxiety, antisocial personality disorder, and borderline personality disorder. I manage them by surrounding myself with good people and things I love. My dog, friends, video games, movies, and especially blasting deathcore while flying down the highway with the windows down. So no, I don't resent her for being an ass worker, but I do hate what it did to me. Her pain is over. Mine isn't. I wake up every day wanting to end it, but I don't, because it's what people expect. The kid who watched his mom die eventually took his own life. That's the story everyone would expect. So I keep fighting because I feel like I have to, but I'm tired. I hate what happened because of the hollow person it turned me into. I died the same moment she did. While she screamed and begged for her life and ours, I was killed too. Physically, I'm still here. But inside, I've always been gone. If you're wondering whether they caught the man, yes, they did. He confessed to his sister and mother. His sister played along, but called the police. He was arrested by U.S. Marshals in Miami just 10 minutes before boarding a flight to Cuba. He was given 4 life sentences without parole for rape, aggravated assault, armed robbery, and murder. He pled guilty to avoid the death penalty and additional charges of child abuse. About 10 years ago, he murdered his cellmate, who was imprisoned for crimes against children, and was given another life sentence without parole. I met with the detective who caught him a few years ago for an interview. It was one of the few positive moments I've had in a long time. Story 28. My mom was a hardcore drug user, and my dad was an abusive dealer, cocaine among other things. She lost custody of my 2 older brothers, who I didn't even know existed until I became an adult. The only reason she didn't lose me was because she fled the hospital when CPS was on the way. My early life was a complete mess. We moved every couple of months. I have vague memories of strange men and women coming and going from wherever we were living and of explicit adult activity. I remember her being traded for drugs. She eventually cleaned up a little. Still dates terrible men, still uses drugs sometimes, and still puts herself in questionable situations. She continues to act like the world owes her something and doesn't understand why people dislike her. What really makes me angry isn't just the abuse and neglect she subjected me and my brothers to, though that is unforgivable, but the fact that she had a support network and still chose chaos. I've made peace with that, to a degree, but what I can't let go of is the fact that I missed so many opportunities because I never experienced stability. I was gifted as a kid, ahead in nearly every subject except history. But we moved so often, my childhood became fractured. I couldn't keep friends, missed out on activities, and eventually gave up under the weight of stress and depression. I still think about how different my life could have been with a stable home. Instead, I clawed my way through life, just trying not to fall apart. Now I'm middle-aged, debt-free, dating casually, and working on a career change. I'm doing okay, but I'll never stop wondering what could have been. Story 29. So my mom never worked the streets, but she used to go down to the oil rigs for a few days to clean the trailers. We lived in the projects, and she would leave my brother and me alone for days at a time. She's incredibly lucky we lived next to a good friend of mine back then. That friend and her older sister, who became a huge artistic influence on me, would either come over or let us hang out at their place. When my mom came home, she'd tell us about her drug trips. I clearly remember her describing how the 2008 election debate looked like dolls talking to each other. Her biggest problems weren't even the work itself. I don't care that she sold herself. What hurts is that she left us alone, without food or supervision, for days. At 15, I finally left my family and moved in with my best friend's family. That came with its own challenges, but it's still one of the best decisions I've ever made. Story 30. Daughter here. A little background. My great-grandmother came from a very wealthy family. They owned a ranch and the only grocery store in town, employing most of the local population. She had quite the allowance, but she fell for a handsome basketball player from a poor background. She married him and lost everything. They had 7 children, some with her husband, others with his brother. This was in the 60s, and their kids were essentially raised by drugs, essers, and rock and roll. 18 years later, my grandmother had no financial skills, had developed a drug addiction, and fell for a pimp on the corner. She married into whatever money she could find and turned to ES work to fund her habits. My mother, raised in that chaos, ended up living on the streets to avoid being trafficked by her own mother. At 18, she moved in with a 23-year-old man just to have somewhere to stay. When she got pregnant, she found a more stable man to house her and the baby. She would either leave her 2 children with her mom, a soma addict, and her alcoholic boyfriend, who I later found out was a pedophile, or she'd bring us along while she saw clients. We'd sit in the corner while she earned money to feed us. Eventually, she moved in with an aunt who had been raised by that original great-grandmother. No drugs or S-work there, but lots of physical abuse and zero affection. Still, I'd take that over the early years. Coming from 3 generations of women who let men dictate their lives and a 4th who resented the world, I now struggle with anger and trust, especially toward maternal figures. My mother-in-law and I have a strained relationship. She sees herself as nurturing. I see her as someone my husband happens to like spending time with. I've even made my husband the stay-at-home parent, flipping the script entirely. I was diagnosed with reactive attachment disorder at age 11. Honestly, it's probably why I don't feel emotionally connected to my biological family. I'm proud of myself and my sister, though. 2 generations of dysfunction taught us what not to do. I found my chosen family who truly supports and loves me. My sister is putting herself through school and building a life surrounded by people who genuinely care about her. I'd love to go to therapy one day, but for now, I've got ass credit. Story 31. Daughter of AS worker here. My mother put me up for adoption as an infant, so I didn't have to experience much of it firsthand. All I really know is based on sporadic contact with my biological maternal grandmother, who arranged the adoption. I have to believe my birth mother was truly desperate. She was married, had 3 children, struggled with mental illness, and fell deep into drug addiction. They were separated when she got pregnant with me, and he had custody of the other children. I haven't been able to get a clear answer on whether her husband or my half-siblings ever knew about the pregnancy. I was born prematurely, with cocaine and alcohol in my system. I was angry for a long time, but now in my 30s, I've made peace with it. I'm actually grateful that she gave me up. I believe that in giving me up, she did the best thing she could have done as a mother. I imagine life would have been incredibly painful if I had stayed with her. Sometimes I think about reaching out to see if my biological siblings know about me, or if there are more siblings I don't know about, but I'm afraid of reopening old wounds or reminding them of trauma they've tried to forget. I have no desire to contact her. I don't even know if she's still alive. Story 32. This isn't my story, but my father's. He once told me very directly that he always suspected his mother earned extra money in certain ways before she married his stepfather. There were often different men at their house, and he realized that after the bar closed, where she worked as a bartender, she would try to make some extra cash from the men who stuck around until closing. He rationalized it. She had 4 kids and had been abandoned by his biological father. People often talk about absent black fathers, but many don't realize how, in the 1950s and 60s, Latin American fathers were also known to disappear. His mom stayed and raised them. His dad didn't. That's why my father refused to attend his biological father's funeral and always saw his white Cajun stepfather as his real dad. He never judged his mother. I remember we were watching a news segment about Maya Angelou, and they mentioned she had worked as a S worker in her youth. That was the first time he ever brought up his mom's past. He told me she was a drunk and involved in a lot of drama, but she was still his mom. Story 33. I'm not a man, but my mother is currently a S worker. She started this line of work out of desperation as a way to pay me back and try to repair our relationship after spending the $100,000 inheritance my grandmother had left me. But what started as a temporary fix has spiraled out of control. Now it's all she does. Day and night, she books appointments. And as far as my stepdad knows, she's just always busy. She's barely ever home. And when she is, she doesn't make time for my sister or me. She's a three-time felon, a drug addict, and extremely poor. This kind of work is one of the few ways she can survive, especially since my stepdad doesn't make much either. But she's been followed, attacked, and harassed online. I've asked her to stop so many times. Despite the betrayal of her stealing my inheritance, I never wanted her to feel obligated to sell her body just to pay me back. The worst part is that I'm the only person in her life who knows, and she's asked me to keep it a secret. I worry about her constantly. I'm terrified I'll get a call one day saying she's back in prison, hurt, or dead. And I know logically it's not my fault, but the fact that she feels like she has to do this for me makes me sick. What she did with the money is unforgivable in some ways, but the fact that she chose this path out of guilt just makes everything worse. Her being a S worker has never changed my love for her, but it terrifies me. It's changed her. It's changed me. It's changed my sister. We're all living in the shadow of it, and people judge us, me, my sister, and my mother, without knowing anything about the trauma or the circumstances that brought us here. Story 34. I've only ever had one conversation with my mom about this. When I was an older teenager, she confided in me that when I was around 4 to 6 years old, my dad would drop her off outside a bingo club very late at night. Sometimes my baby sister and I would be in the back seat. Sometimes we waited for 20 minutes. Other times he would leave her there for hours and pick her up at 4 a.m. while we were asleep in the car. I remember my mom hating those nights. I remember her begging my dad not to make her go, but he'd guilt her into it, telling her she needed to earn money to support me and my sister. The one time she ever talked to me about it, she told me he had actually been forcing her to streetwalk at the retail park near the bingo place, alone, at night, in a very rough city. My mom is barely 5 feet tall, English isn't her first language, and at the time she had no family or friends in the country. I distinctly remember her getting back into the car one night, shaking and crying, shouting that it would be the last time she ever went to bingo. He didn't argue, and as far as I know, he never made her do it again. My dad is a horrible person. That's just one of many awful things he did to all of us, and it's part of why we have a lifetime restraining order against him. He's not allowed to enter any city or town where we live. I haven't seen or heard from him in 12 years. The day I learn he's dead will probably be one of the happiest of my life, right up there with my university graduation.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.